Our call to worship today. By the way, the title for the sermon today is Love Forever. It's not our love, it's God's love. God loves us so much, and there's nothing that can break that bond of love. Nothing that we do or nothing in situation, nothing in America that can break that bond of love. But in preparation for today, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. And it says, "Hear, O Israel," and I'm going to add, "Hear, O church," today. "Hear, O church, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit at your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." Pretty much all the time. "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Lord, we thank you so much for your work in our lives, and we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus, that has come and died for our sins. We thank you for your love to us. And we just praise your name for this time of worship. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be finishing up chapter 8. Today, we're going to be reading 37, 38, and 39. Romans 8, 37 through 39. "But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Today's story comes not from Chuck Swindoll's illustration book. It comes from Gary Chapman's book on the five love languages. He says, "It works. Thousands of married couples echo the story of Scott and Anna." Now, I need to remind us here that Gary Chapman is the author of the five love languages of God, and also five love languages of us, and helping marriages. So as we go through today's message, although we're not going to go through the love languages right away, we'll be going to save that till a little bit later. I want you all, if you're married, to think about what your spouse's love language is, maybe even what yours is, and kind of ask yourself, am I speaking my wife's love language? Am I speaking? You see, if you don't speak your wife's love language, they're not going to feel loved. They're not going to experience love. And so I want you to think about that today as we go through the entire message. What is your spouse's love language? What is your love language? Thousands of married couples echo the story of Scott and Anna. They had driven 400 miles to Atlanta to attend a love languages seminar. After the Friday night session, Scott said, "Dr. Chapman, we want to thank you for turning our marriage around. I couldn't figure it out." They had just started the weekend seminar. Sensing the question in my eyes, they continued, "I know that you don't know us, but God used the love language concept to transform our marriage. We have been married for 33 years, but to be very honest with you, the last 20 years have been utterly miserable. We have lived in the same house and been outwardly friendly with each other, but that's as far as it went. If you want to know how bad it was, we had not taken a vacation together in 20 years. We simply didn't like being with each other. Some time ago, I shared my misery with a friend. He went into his house and came back with your book and told me to read it. He thought it would help. I went home and read it. I finished reading it about 2 o'clock one morning. I shook my head and asked myself, how could I have missed this? I realized immediately that my wife and I had not spoken each other's love languages for years. I gave the book to her and asked her to read it and let me know what she thought of it. 3 or 4 days later, we sat down and discussed the book. We both agreed that if we had read this book 20 years earlier, our lives would have been different. I asked her if she thought it would make any difference if we tried now. She replied, listen to this, we don't have anything to lose. If your marriage is struggling right now and you want one of these books, I have 3 in my office. It's one of the books that I generally keep on hand to give out to the couples that I counsel. It's a very, very good book. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the lessons that you've given me to speak about today. Lord, I pray that you'll be with each one here, married or not. Lord, I thank you so much that this message is not necessarily about marriages, but about God who created love. And he speaks everybody's language. We thank you so much for doing that for us. Amen. I would like to read the message, the text that we used 3 weeks ago, so that we're kind of all on the same track here, and that was Romans 8:31-35. And it says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised from the dead. Who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Listen to verse 35. What or who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? See, many times when we go through struggles in our own life, or even in our society, we think that God has somehow stopped loving us. I've heard it again and again and again, and maybe some of you have said it. God doesn't love me anymore. Or maybe we have fallen from his grace, but the fact is that nothing can take us away from God's grace and his love. Listen to Romans 5:8-11. Most of you know Romans 5:8, at least if you're an Awana leader, you probably know Romans 5:8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. How? That while we were yet sinners, right? That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Listen to verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So let me ask you a question. According to this, God himself, Jesus, says that we were his enemies, and yet he died for us. How do you treat your enemies? How do you treat those who mistreat you? Do you treat them with kindness? Do you treat them with love? Or do you talk about their back, talk about them behind their back and discuss with everybody else how you really don't like that person? The question that we asked 3 weeks ago was, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And then verse 37, starting today. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Jesus loves us so much that he conquered all the bad in our life. He conquered everything. And you know what? The bad in our life does not necessarily come from the sin in our life. I've heard in my office so many times people, you know, if they've got bad in their life, they kind of wonder, what did they do to deserve this? The fact is, we live in a fallen world. And because we live in a fallen world, we experience the trouble of a fallen world. Sickness and pain and suffering of every kind. On the other hand, Scripture does teach that God disciplines those he loves. He disciplines those he loves. Listen to Hebrews 12, 4 through 8. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. Boy, that's a mouthful. What it's saying is you haven't really struggled enough in the sin patterns of your world, in your life. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. And it says, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, for faint when you are responded by him. For those whom the Lord loves his discipline, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which you have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. God does discipline his children because he loves us. Jim, did you ever discipline your kids? Why? They needed it. Because you wanted them to grow up to be honorable citizens, right? Yeah, good answer. I love talking about Christy because she gets mad at me afterwards. I used to take her and spank her right on the bottom. God made this area right here in your body soft so that, you know, it can be swatted a few times. But I told her to touch her toes because she would like to put her hands back there. And I used to say, you know what? It's going to hurt worse. And it did, didn't it? Yeah. We discipline because we love. The next two verses in Romans 8. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So let me ask you a question today, maybe a penetrating question. How do you know that God loves you? How do you know that God loves you? That's a very important question to know the answer of, that way, by the way. Does anybody have an answer for me? How do you know that God loves you?
The Bible tells me so.
But how do you know? Let's look at a few texts. Yes, the Bible does tell us. Look at John 13:1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own and were in the world, he loved them to the end. What on earth is that talking about? He loved them to the end. The end of what? Huh?
The end of
the end of his life. He loved them so much that he died. Most of you know what 1 John 3:16 says. I've said it a couple of times. And usually, when I ask if anybody knows what 1 John 3:16 is, most everybody raises their hand and they quote John 3:16, right? Listen to this. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with what? Words or with tongue, but with deeds and truth and action. Although we're going to find out in just a little bit that one of the love languages is words of affirmation, which means that you need to speak affirming words to your loved ones. And then John 3:16 and 17. Does anybody know this text? John 3:16 and 17? Does anybody? Kim, would you mind saying it? He sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save it. Jesus loves us so much. Simply put, listen very carefully. It's all of 7 words. 1 John 4:19. If I had to say there was one thing that you needed to remember today, it'd be this. We love because he first loved us. And if you don't have a relationship with him today, you're not going to understand that. That's why we know that God loves us, because we have a relationship with him, because he died for us. We love because he first loved us. What are the 5 love languages? I hope you listen to this, married people, because it's very, very important. I want to stress again, I think I have 3 books in my office that if you really, really get something out of this and you say, I want one of those books to read, I will give it to you. Words of affirmation. You know what? The entire Bible is his love book to us. These are God's words. And if we don't read them, we are not going to receive words of affirmation from God. All through the text, we find out about God's redemption work and his forgiveness. Look at Adam and Eve. Sin, redemption. The ark. By the way, if you want to go see something great, go see the new ark encounter in Kentucky. Oh, you need to go. The ark, redemption, saving God's people from the wrath that's to come. Song of Solomon's, a love song. The Psalms, by the way, is full of God's way of how he loves us. The Gospels, God himself coming down to earth. Why? To save us. It's all written down so that we can get words of affirmation. By the way, God is the author of love, and he does speak all of these. Generally, us as humans have one of these that is primary, and the other ones could be whatever. Lori's love language is acts of service. If I want to show my love to her, what do you suppose, ladies, what should I do? Huh? Dishes. You know what? I think dishes are on hormones, because they grow and grow and grow, and they have seeds. So every time you do the dishes, some seeds fall on the countertop and they multiply. You know what, Donna? I hate doing the dishes. I hate doing the dishes. But if I want to show Lori that I love her, I need to do the dishes. I need to do the dishes. Or sweep the floor. Or make the bed. Or do the laundry. Are you listening to me, people? We need to do the love language of our spouse, because if I don't, she's not going to know that I love her. Quality time is the next one. Luke 10:38-42. Now as they were traveling along, they entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to the word. But Martha was distracted by all her preparations, and she came to him and said, Lord, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. Listen to this. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What was Mary doing? Somebody. Huh? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words, spending time with him. Quality time. Jesus wants a relationship with you. I don't know how many of you are Facebook fans. I have Facebook. I scan through it and then I say I'm done. But there's a lot of young people, especially in our society today, that's they post something like, I'm in a relationship with somebody. What's that mean? Well, it could mean several things. I want to spend more time with that person. I want to spend more time with that person in a relationship. The next love language is gifts, or giving of gifts, or receiving gifts. This is called the universal love language, by the way, and most people love to get gifts. Who does not like to give gifts here? Get gifts. You don't like to get them? Yeah. How many of you... You'd like to give gifts? That's his love language. You like to give them. You like to get them too, though, right? How many do not like to get them? Okay. That surprises me. Usually there's one or two. I have talked with people that say to their spouse, don't bother giving me. Don't waste your money. It really doesn't do anything for me. Most people like to get gifts, but there are certain people who's really, wow, they are really loving me by getting gifts. And Nathan, I think he's his love gift. So if you want to love Nathan, give him something. It doesn't have to be anything special. It could be a pen. Giving of gifts. What's the best gift ever given? I'm here in Jesus, I'm here in eternal life. Very good. Ephesians 2:8-10. It's for grace that you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of work, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God had prepared beforehand so that we would walk with him. The next one is acts of service. Acts of service. John 13:12-16. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garment and reclined at the table, again he said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you also should wash the feet of one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. We need to serve one another. And God, that's one of the love languages, acts of service, which I need to speak to my wife. And the last one is physical touch. A lot of people get this confused with sexual touch. This has nothing to do with sexual intimacy. If this is your love language, you simply like to hold hands or get a hug or just a big bear hug or something. If that's your love language, you just like to be touched. Matthew 8, 1 through 3. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him, and a leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, can you make me clean? Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Do you know what a leper is? A leper was somebody who no one was, in fact, if you were a leper, you were to stay away. You were not welcome around the community of people because they didn't want to get the disease. Jesus comes up and touches the leper. It's exactly what the leper needed. He needed the healing, of course, but he needed to be touched by God himself. I love you, Jesus says. And immediately his leper was cleansed. We are his children. We need to put our trust in him. So we need to learn to love. We need to learn to love. And then we need to love. We need to learn it, and then we need to do it. 1 John 4:19. Help me out with this. If you know it, we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved. 1 John 4:19. Go and love other people. There you go. Have a good day.